on this station. So I know every time he comes to Buffalo, he talks about how you take him out for dinner and you guys really have a good time up there, huh?
We do. I mean, it's awesome. I enjoy, you know, him and Dan and a few other guys on that. But, it's something they come up and we wine and dine them. We have some fun and enjoy it. So why not? A typical, when you have the bet each and every year, you have to sweep. I have one with Marino. If we sweep, he buys me stone crab. And if they sweep, I buy him stone crab. And don't let him tell you that I only get him chicken wings. That's a bunch of crap. But the thing is, I said, Dan, number one, I wouldn't do it. Number two is, you guys haven't swept the Buffalo Bills since Larry Zonka played.
Jim Kelly's a bad man. Jim Kelly, you are a bad, bad man. Great seeing him, though, at the Notre Dame University of Miami game. Boy, what you talk about Hall of Famers, we bring in Don Bailey Jr., man. The floor's king of South. That was hilarious, by the way, brother. I got to tell you, that was great. And all the Hall of Famers at that frigging game was incredible. Never seen so many guys, starting with Jimmy Johnson and just working your way through.
Yeah, it was a great day, Joe. I don't think Jim's rest of his story got on the air, but he told me that you stuck his butt with a bad credit card up in Buffalo one time, too.
I got news for you. When that dinner takes place, I have nothing to do with that dinner and that tab.
I bet.
Starting with the one side with the two Hall of Famers and the four or five freeloaders with it. No, there's no way, brother. No way touching that one. No, that's not going to happen. Hey, I do want to ask you, though, here real quickly. Where's that win rank for you in recent years, beating Notre Dame at home to kick things off?
The only thing that's been close to it was when we did it in 2017. And I think it's even more impressive right now. I mean, to think that, was it, Joe, 36 games ago, 33 games ago, Miami lost to Middle Tennessee State at home. And what Mario Cristobal's done in 33 games is take him from losing to Duke and Middle Tennessee State at home and his first year. And then in the first game of his fourth year, he beats a team that went to the national championship game last year, was ranked number 6 in the country, and is, you know, was touted to be in the playoffs and in a run for a national championship. And in 33, 36 games, depending upon if you want to count from Duke or Middle Tennessee, he's starting to flip this thing. And I just think it's just an amazing job of what they've done and what he's done.
Yeah. So now you go from that Notre Dame game.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we can't sugarcoat. It's Bethune-Cookman you're playing, and everybody's saying nice things, and they put on their uniforms and all that stuff. But we need to get the work with number ones and some of the key number twos. And then the ideal situation in that second half is to get a lot of young guys a lot of playing time, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Normal protocol is the first group comes out the first drive of the second half, and, you know, if the score allows it, and then everybody starts getting into the ball game. But you've got four games plus bowl games now where these guys can play and not get redshirted. So, you know, specifically somebody like Emery Williams, you've got to get him in there as much as you can. These guys in
yes,
the secondary.
That's a good one. That's a good one to start with. That's your backup quarterback is an important one and didn't get enough playing time a year ago. You're right.
No, he didn't. And D-line too, you know, you're going to replace some pretty impressive guys at defensive end probably next year with Bain and Mesidor. So you got to get Blunt in there and Lightfoot and see what those guys are going to, how they're able to get them groomed, get them to step in and pick up the slack.
I was going to throw some guys out that I wanted to see, and just the top of my list, Dante Simpson, defensive tackle. Is he to you like the fourth defensive tackle right now or no?
He's between four and five. You know, him and Daylon Russell, I think, are battling that out, but he's absolutely in the top five. And, you know, he's got super size, you know, he's a freshman. He's over 300 and he plays the game at the right pad level and he's able to hold the point and do everything that you want a guy to do. And he will get in the ball game and you need to see him be as active as he can. And the thing that gets me, it's so important with guys on the line of scrimmage, either side, the young ones, they got to get used to going play after play after play. It's not two plays and take a rest or three right. plays and take a rest. They got to get acclimated to some long drives and see how their conditioning holds up and really see what game conditions are like.
Yeah. Hey, another guy is JoJo Trader on the top of my list. I knew he ran a takeoff down the middle, pretty well covered between a safety and the corner, but I sure would like to see him get four or five catches and get him going a little bit. Has he been a little banged up? I heard he was a little banged up for a while again.
You know what, Joe? I don't follow the injury report, so I can't answer that for you, but I will tell you this. They need to have him involved. I think that he's a guy that the receiver group, if you give me a minute, I've never seen a receiver group in my history of football block like that group did on Sunday. Every one of them. I mean, they were de-cleating those guys of Notre Dame, and it was play after play. And I think, you know, he was involved, got on the field some, and everybody was a big part of that. Trader's a playmaker that it will work his way into the equation.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of people surprised didn't realize Malachi at age 17. I think he might be turning 18 here pretty soon. I know you and I had a good laugh about it. It wasn't so funny watching his ass out there running around wide open on some of those routes. Not acting like a 17 now, soon to be 18-year-old. What do you think of Malachi's performance, and did you expect it from being at practice a lot?
You know, Joe, what you see at practice, he showed all those things that he showed in the game. But what you don't know is a 17-year-old in his first start against Notre Dame. He's at Miami, national television, sold-out crowd. How's he going to play? Well, he played like he plays. And every single person you talk to on that staff, they talk about how he approaches every single day. And the fact that he studies, he's in there watching extra tape, taking extra balls after practice, doing whatever he's got to do. And he just, I think the best is yet to come. And the good news for me is, you know, we were wondering how you're going to replace Restrepo. Well, I mean, does this kid have 3,000-yard seasons? I mean, that's where's the cap on him? I don't think there is one.
Well, the other thing I like is, and it tells you all you need to know about how much they trust him, he's a punt return guy. He was your deep guy catching all the punts, and I wasn't sure about that, but he looked so smooth. It just didn't look like the moment was too big with Notre Dame guys around him out there to fair catch it and run when he could.
That's a great point. And, you know, special teams, they perform very, very well, except for, you know, the one snap. But everything else, I think Miami just, again, won that category against Notre Dame. But Tony's going to get used to it. You know, number 10 is a name to get used to. And, you know, how do you not talk about the receivers and talk about the catch with
Oh, the catches. By the way, that might not happen anything like that the rest of the year. The time in the game between a safety and a corner that you got a little separation and then the extension. Yeah, that was impressive. That was you don't get one of those. A lot of guys never see that in their career. That was pretty good for national TV. Where's that rank for you?
I don't know that I've seen many much better than that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
that's a tough one, right?
That's a tough one. I mean, I somebody'd have to jar my memory for that one to be unseated as number one, especially with the results and at the time of the game and what it meant. I mean, that was a money deal. And Joe, I'm sure you noticed, but Carson Beck was falling backwards. You know, I mean, it was a heck of a placement for him too. I mean, the catch was spectacular, but Beck getting it out there and hanging on to the last second and getting rid of the football and making the play. It was a cumulative effort by those guys.
Hey, defensively, just the one breakdown, which was a big problem a year ago. I don't need to tell you about all the guys wide open and trying to figure out, either in the radio booth or somebody on TV going, somebody made a mistake. Nobody's this open in a zone or something. Only had one of them in the game that I really noticed. It looked like it was pretty clean from the secondary.
It was. And the thing that is impressive about that is the communication that's required in the secondary to be successful. And, you know, Notre Dame obviously was trying to get them to run most of the game to the perimeter, you know, throwing all those screens and everything out towards the sideline. But they held up, and you know, the Poizier kid who's a sophomore who came in from Jacksonville State, you know, he's, you know, about a step up from what he saw last year in college. And Lucas played well. He was the guy from Wisconsin. And that whole group really is starting to gel. I think as the next couple weeks go by, you'll really start seeing them build depth, and you'll start seeing a couple guys just jump off the chart as who's the star.
Yeah. No, listen, man, it was a lot of good stuff. Hey, so just so you know, before I hit this 9 o'clock hour, So I went out. I want to make sure you're okay with this. I did it again before you came on. I've been saying when he's in the office, if you call and said, if DBJ comes out to my house, I'd like to use him for my flooring. Yeah. Because you did that, and my wife had such a great experience. But it'd be a Canes fan, and you don't mind talking about the Canes. You talk about them morning, noon, and night. It's okay.
Yeah.
So you're not mad I did that, right? I just want to let you know it's the owner of the company.
Joe, I can't be mad at you telling the truth. How could I be mad at you telling the
truth?
There
you go.
You call me. That's it. It's a very simple rule. If you call me wherever you are, I'll go. I don't care if it's Weston or Vero Beach, I'll be there. It doesn't matter. And that's just the way we run it. If you're nice enough to come to us, we're nice enough to come to you.
DBJ, hey, man, that's the way you are, too. If anybody getting ready to do it, make sure you stop right now and use DBJ. I'm telling you right now, they got great people, great group of people working with them. Don, thank you, man. Have a good one. And I'll talk to you next week.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. Have a good one as well.
You got it. Don Bailey Jr., Hurricanes radio analyst, joining us.